Would you look with me, please, at the Bible? Mark chapter 4, verses 23-25. Today we're going to talk to you about one of the principles that are the keys to your future. Turn to your neighbor and say, this could be the key to your future. What is it, Pastor Dave? I'm glad you asked that question. It is simply hearing and obeying the voice of God. The key to everything, hearing and obeying the voice of God. Mark 4:23, let's look at it in the Amplified Version. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. Notice he says hear and heed. Do you know there's a difference between hearing and heeding? You can hear something but not pay attention to it. You can hear something but not obey it. So hearing is one thing. Heeding, or the old-fashioned King James word, hearkening. Remember, King James, hearken to my voice, the Lord would say, right? He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom. In other words, to the extent you pay attention to what God is doing in your life and you apply it to your life, then you will grow some more. You will be given, it will be measured back to you. In other words, God will give you more depending on how interested you are, how much attention you're paying, and how much you're devoting of yourself to Him. And then it says, you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you beside. For whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. Are you getting the pattern here? And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. The Christian life is not static. You're either moving forward or you're slowly going backward. Some of you don't agree with that or perhaps never thought of it. I could just maintain, you know, like treading water. Have you ever been in a situation where, like, I'm not a good swimmer, so, but I can tread water for a pretty good time, but after a while, even if you're good at treading water, if you're in the water for 24 hours or 3 days, guess what? You will drown. Okay? So in the Christian life, you are either moving forward or slowly, sometimes it's so slow you don't even realize it, you are moving backwards. You're moving away spiritually. You're either growing spiritually or you're cooling off spiritually. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24. James 1, 22 to 24 says, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. He observes himself and goes away. And you could add here, just insert this phrase, and does nothing. Everybody say, does nothing. And immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So to illustrate what God is trying to say here in James chapter 1, you go to the mirror, you see, like I wake up in the morning with my hair all in different directions. How many of you know, what do they call that, the bedhead? When you're on a pillow at night, I wake up with this thing sticking straight up in the air. My wife laughs at me when she sees me. It's like looking at a mirror and you say, oh, my hair is all messed up, but I'm going to go to work anyway. And I'm just going to forget about it. It doesn't matter. Because if this is the way my hair is going to be, I'm tired of fixing it. I'm tired of combing it. I'm tired of brushing it. But you know what? You're just fooling yourself, because you go to work like that, and all day long people are going to be laughing at you. They'll be laughing at you. In other words, it's not enough to hear. You've got to take action. And what we're going to focus on today and going forward into 2019 is hearing and obeying. Hearing and obeying. And the teaching that we're giving here is that from the time of our spiritual birth, we've been on a journey to grow up spiritually. Just like, maybe, have you ever had somebody tell you when you're a teenager, oh, just grow up. You're acting like a baby. You're acting like an infant. But you know, we're also required to grow up spiritually. Are you there? And I like to put it this way. We've been on a journey to grow up spiritually. And what is it all about? It really is about your capacity for more of God in your life. And that's why I love this teaching in Mark chapter 4 in the Amplified, because it's talking about your capacity to be mature, your capacity to receive more from God will depend on the action you take and how you handle what you have been given. And the implication is that there's an incremental growth that God is trying to teach us. Just like a weightlifter doesn't start off with 300 pounds right off the bat. If you want to be a weightlifter and bodybuilder, you start off with 20 pounds or 30 pounds. And incrementally you grow until someday you bench press 500 pounds, you know. It's the same thing spiritually. There's an incremental growth that God is overseeing if you're paying attention to it. If you're not paying attention to it, you just go around the same circle. Around and around and around. How many of you know what I mean when I say going around the same mountain? It happens when you grow more in love with God. God increases your capacity for more love. It happens as you increase your capacity for more faith. You might say, well, I'm a person of faith, but do you have more faith now than you had 5 years ago? You say, I'm a loving person. Okay, I agree with that. But are you more loving now than you were 10 years ago? You see, there's a measurement where God is trying to get us to measure up to the fullness of Jesus Christ, who is our ultimate standard. Can you say amen? He's the measure. We want to become like him. Ultimately, we want to look like Jesus in every area of our lives. And this happens every time we decide to open the Bible. We can grow a little bit. Every time we come to a church service, we have the opportunity to grow like we did today. God interrupted the service right in the middle, and we had time to draw near to Christ. And I have a feeling some of you did some business with God. Some of you took care of some stuff in your heart. See, that's an opportunity to do something about your spiritual life. Are you following me this morning? So whether it's in reading your Bible or coming to a church service or praying or obeying, these are all ways in which God allows us to keep growing and exercising our faith and our spiritual obedience so we can become more and more like Jesus. Amen. Jesus taught that this is so critical that he talks about this parable as a measure of everything else that's going to happen in your life. In other words, what he's saying is that if you take a little itty-bitty measuring thing like this, and you say, okay, God, I'm going to read my Bible 5 minutes a month. Okay, and God says, okay, hand me that. Can you come up for a second, Navaris? You're going to pretend to be God, okay? Don't get scared. Okay, so I'm studying, I'm praying, I'm initiating my Christian life, and this is me, you know, praying 5 minutes, reading, giving 5 minutes attention a day to God. And so what I'm doing, in essence, is giving this to God and say, okay, now, God, you use the same measure that I use. He says, I will measure back on you. So now pour that back on me. Feels pretty good. It's not too much, but it's okay. It's like a drop of rain. But then now I've been saved for 5 years. Now I'm up to this. And so now I'm studying for 10 minutes, or I'm praying, or I come to church twice a month. Somebody say amen. And I'm giving this to God. I say, God, I'm going to church. Now God says, okay, so I'm going to pour this back on you. Okay, are you getting the idea? With the same measure, he said, you can be seated. Thank you. Give Navaris a hand. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Let me go back to the text again. Let's look at the text again. Can you put it back up? He says, by your own standard, this is the second sentence, by your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured back to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond, and more will be given to you besides. So now, after so many years and so many ups and downs, now I'm up to this. Now I'm really getting into it. I'm praising the Lord. I'm singing in my car, you know, and I talk to people at work about Jesus, and, you know, I'm actually not kicking the dog anymore, you know, and things like that. I don't lose my temper, you know. So God is pouring this back on me. Say, here, let me give you this. And then someday Maybe one day. Ta-da! Ta-da! Everybody say, ta-da! You'll have a bucket that God's poured on you because that you are totally abandoned to God. You are totally sold out. Have you met people like that? Sometimes in their 80s and 90s, they're so sold out to God, you don't even see the flesh anymore. All you see is Jesus. You just see Jesus when you go visit them. So, are you getting the concept right here? And there's a clear difference between someone who takes the time and the effort to apply what they've already heard. If you're applying what you already know, God will give you more. If you're not, then you're going to be going around the circle. So let's start with this hearing. Hearing is so critical. If you're going to follow God, you got to hear what he's saying, right? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You got to hear the shepherd's voice. You got to hear the voice of the Lord. How do you hear the voice of the Lord? In many different ways, primarily from the Bible. Somebody say, the Bible. This is our main source of hearing God's voice, right here. His word is his will. His word is his voice. And as we study and as we immerse ourselves in the word, we hear, we understand what God is saying. Also through our prayers, through our worship, there are many ways in which we can hear God's voice. But hearing is so important. And how many of you know that even as physical hearing can be impeded, so can spiritual hearing be impeded? Are you with me this morning? My wife and I are getting a little older. I know she doesn't look that old. I'm starting to look old, but she doesn't. So we don't hear each other that well anymore. And we've had some funny things happen. Some of you who are, you know, in your senior above 55, you know what I'm talking about. And she's upstairs, and she calls down. She says, "Hon, can you bring up the towel from the downstairs bathroom?" And I go, "That would be next Tuesday." And she's like, she says, "What? I thought you said when you go into the office or something." I was like, we cannot understand each other sometimes. And how many of you know hearing is important? You can really get things mixed up. Like there was this guy reading his newspaper at the table, not paying attention to his wife. Reading the newspaper, she's saying, "You know, Johnny's going to school today." Yeah. "So-and-so has a test today." Yeah. "So-and-so has practicing his volleyball." Yeah. And then she says, "Do I look fat in this dress?" He goes, Yeah. Obviously not listening. There was this is a true story, a military exercise at a command center where they had to replicate an exercise where in case they were taken over by enemies, they would hunker down in the command center and not open the door to anybody unless the person had the code word. And so they studied this and rehearsed it and so on, and then all of a sudden a knock came at the door. And so they said the code word. The code word was, at least what they thought it was Fort Knox. So the man inside the command center wouldn't open the door. There's pounding on the door, trying to pretend this is the enemy, you know, trying to break in. And the guy yells out, "Fort," and there's no answer. It just keeps on knocking. So it says, "Well, this is a test to see if we really got this, right?" So this is going on for about an hour, and then finally the phone rings, and it's the commanding officer of the whole barracks. He says, "Would you idiots please open up the door?" He says, "Well, why should I open the door? You didn't give the right word." He says, "It's not Fort Knox, it's Four Knox. Four Knox. 1, 2, 3, 4. Not Fort Knox, Four Knox. Miscommunication can be a serious problem. Today, God is asking us, are your spiritual ears and heart tuned to respond to Jesus? You know, we listen to so many things. We keep the media on. We have the Facebook. We have the Twitter, whatever it is, the Instagram. We have TV. We have radio. We have headphones. But unless we turn the volume down sometimes, we're going to miss something important that God is trying to say. As a matter of fact, I will go as far as saying this concept of hearing and obeying is so fundamental. It is so important that you will never grow beyond your ability to hear and obey. You will never grow beyond your ability to hear and obey the Lord and follow Him. That will be the measure of your growth. Whether it's learning a language, learning science, math, playing an instrument, or excelling in any sport. If you want to be good at it, guess what you got to do? You got to practice. Right? Basketball players, they still practice their foul shots. Musicians, good musicians, sometimes practice 3 or 4 hours a day. And if they don't practice, you can tell the difference. So, you know, our growth is built one precept upon another. If you haven't obeyed the last thing God spoke to you about, why are you asking Him for new information? Are you with me today? It's not so much that we need more revelation or deeper messages. Sometimes what we need is to obey what we've already heard. Somebody actually asked that question to Mark Twain, the famous author Mark Twain, and also kind of a comedian too. They came up to him and said, "What do you think about the parts of the Bible that you can't understand? How do you deal with that?" And he said, "I'm not worried about that." He said, "I'm worried about obeying the parts of the Bible that I do understand." And that's the thing. What needs to be fixed in all of us, and I raise my hand as well, is I need to have a hearing heart. Paul says that the eyes of your understanding will be opened, that you'll be able to see. It's not that God has failed. Come on, somebody, say amen. It's not that God is less powerful than He was 2,000 years ago. It's not that God loves you less, because He says, "I am the Lord and I change not." God hasn't changed, and God hasn't moved. If something gets moved, it's us. Amen? Sometimes we're distracted. Sometimes we're cooling off. Sometimes we're not giving God the place in our life that He deserves. James chapter 1, we read before also, don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. I was thinking about what the ancient prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 58, verse 2. He says, you know, day after day, my people seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways as if they were a nation that does what is right. The four-letter word, does, D-O-E-S. It's not just what we hear, it's what we're doing, what they do, God was concerned about. So today, I want to give you 5 principles to help you with your hearing from God. I hope you'll write these down. You can turn your bulletin over. 5 principles to help you with your hearing from God. Are you ready? Number 1, you've got to believe that God wants to speak to you. Some people are just so full of insecurity. They have such a poor estimate of themselves. They think like, well, God will speak to others, but He'll never speak to me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worth it. Or I've been too bad, or I've been too far from God. I've messed up too many times. Is this relating to anybody here today? Are you getting this morning? You got to believe that God still wants to speak to you. God is a communicator. Jesus is called the Word of God. The Word of God. So if you want to know what God is saying, look at Jesus. Look at the life of Christ. You want to hear from God, study the life of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God is a communicator. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke long ago to the fathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the worlds. God wants to communicate to us. He is speaking to us in these days through His Son, Jesus. Do you believe that this morning? Choosing to believe that God wants to speak to you is one of the first steps to a brand new life. You can have a revolution. In 2019, you can have a revolution take place in your life if you believe that God will speak to you on a daily basis. And I can promise you, without any exaggeration, that He wants to. Hallelujah! God wants to communicate with you. He speaks. He moves. He has a purpose. He has a plan. Even if you hit a wall, it is not the end. Hallelujah. God can get you over that wall. God wants to give you a new day, a new beginning, a new heart. Hallelujah. A new vision, a new dream. You got to deal with the stuff that is interfering with you hearing from God. There's stuff inside of us to say, well, I tried this before. It didn't work. That's like wax in your ears. Or I'm mad at God because, you know, he didn't do this. He didn't answer this prayer. So, you know, I'm not going to try that hard because last time I tried that hard, God didn't do what I want. That's more wax in your ear. You see what I'm getting at? You cannot have a predisposition when it comes to hearing God. You can't go to him with an attitude like, God, I'll give you 5 minutes to prove yourself to me or else I'm not going to follow you. And many of you know that is a very foolish thing to say. You got to deal with the embedded habits and things that are interfering with that open communication to God. Is there rebellion in my heart? Is there bitterness? Is there unforgiveness? It's a big one. Are you with me, church? Unforgiveness. Is there somebody, even right now as I'm saying this, is there somebody that's popping into your head right now? I still can't forgive that person. Can't believe what they did. We need to forgive. That will open up the channel. God wants to communicate with you. So believe. Number one, believe that he wants to speak to you. And deal with the stuff that is interfering with the communication between you and God. Deal with the stuff. Number two, choose to listen actively. What's the difference? Well, active listening is when you stop and you actually calm down enough to hear what somebody else is saying. You know, I heard a saying one time that made so much sense. It says, as long as you are talking, you cannot learn anything new. As long as you're doing all the talking, you can only say what you already know. But when you stop talking, guess what? You can learn something new. Simple, right? But it's very powerful. Active listening means you focus on the person, you put the distractions aside, and with God especially, it's not just a question of physical hearing, it's a question of opening your mind, opening your heart to listen. And God will speak to your heart. The Holy Spirit is a specialist at speaking to our hearts. Are you with me, church? Isaiah 29, verse 13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on human rules they have been taught. So we keep lists and we have religious ways of thinking, you know, like, well, I read my Bible 15 minutes. I went to church. You know, I guess I gave God, you know, his due, whatever, you know, he's requiring. But it's about a friendship. Amen. You don't treat your wife that way. You don't treat your best friend that way. Like, okay, I gave them 15 minutes of my time. That's it for now. You love being with them. Amen. I hope you love being with your spouse. Come on now. You love being with your friends. You love being with your children, with your family, right? Because there's a relationship there. You feel like when you're together, you're better off than when you are separated. And that's how it is with Jesus. When you're with him, you're much better than you would be without him. There's a better version of David when I'm with Jesus than when I'm cooling off toward Jesus or not paying attention. So don't play let's make a deal with God. Are you with me, church? God, I will follow you if you do this. God, I'll give you another chance if you come through this way. Just settle in your mind that God is a good God. In spite of bad things that happen. We know that bad things happen to good people. Right? Some of us have had disappointments, setbacks. Oops. I just kicked my measure that I'm measuring my spiritual development. We've had disappointments. We've had setbacks. We've had failures. But God's love for you hasn't changed. You know, this morning was a great example, as Pastor Angela mentioned. God interrupted the middle of our worship service because there were some people in here hurting. It was not on the schedule. Just to take time to say to you, draw near to me. Unburden yourself. Give me your heart. Give me your pain. God is very patient, and he's able to listen even to your doubts. He can work through it with you if you draw close to him. So listen actively. Open your heart as well as your ears. Are you with me, church? Amen. Number three, be ready to obey and follow whatever God is genuinely saying to you. Amen. If you want to be better in 2019 in hearing from God, have the disposition like, okay, God, when you speak to me, I will listen. I'm going to follow you. I'm not just going to say, well, let me consider that, God, and I'll see if that's one of my good options. How many of you know God is your best option? And when he speaks, everybody should listen. Everybody should listen when he speaks. Beware of only being willing to follow God when he says what you want him to say. Be ready to obey whatever he says to do. Jesus sort of highlighted this in the parable of the two sons. Some of you may not know this parable, but it's in the Bible, Matthew 21, verses 28. I don't know if we have it on the screen, but if not, I'll just read it to you. There are two sons. Oh, we do have it. Jesus gave this story to try to teach a heavenly lesson. He tells a very everyday story. There was a man who had two sons, and the first one came to him, and the father said to him, "Son, go to work today in my vineyard." And the son answered and said, "I will not." He had an attitude. He had an attitude, like they say in Jamaica. He had an attitude, man. He had a bad attitude. He said, "I will not." And then, afterwards, he regretted it. He was sorry. He repented. And guess what? He went. But then there was the second son, and the father said to him, "Go and work in my vineyard today." And he said, "Yes, sir, I will go." But he did not go. Which of the two sons obeyed the will of the father? The first or the second? The first one. He first said, "I will not." In other words, he had this thing he had to work out with God. He had this some issues. And God's okay with that. He can deal with your issues if you're honest and you keep coming to him. But ultimately, he went. He obeyed. The other one's like, "Yeah, sure, God, I'll go. No problem. Father, I'll go. Yeah. I got you. And then he just went off and did his own thing. And I hate to say it, but that's convicting to me. I feel convicted because, you know, there's times where I said, "Yes, God, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try more. I'm going to do this more. After a while, I just forget what I had said. And so, God, help us. Help us to be ready to follow. When we hear, when God gives us instructions, let us be ready to follow and to obey them. If you obey in the little things, guess what? God will give you more. If you obey this much, I'm having too much fun with these things today. If you obey this much, someday you'll get this. Amen. Not a very attractive looking bucket, but you have to use your imagination. Number four, we're almost done. Number four, get quiet often. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Get quiet often." I love this quote. I don't know who said it, but it's really a powerful quote. God will not add his voice in our lives to a blur of meaningless sounds. God is not going to compete when your life is filled with so many noises, and so many sounds, and so many things, your pursuit of whatever, you know, the burdens of this life, the pursuit of pleasures, the care about many things. He's not going to compete. He's just going to wait. You know, like Mary and Martha. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, right? Martha was in the kitchen doing her thing. Was she doing something bad? Was Martha doing something bad? She was preparing the meal. I would have said, "Hey, Martha, God bless you, man. I'm hungry," you know? But Jesus said, "Mary has chosen what's better." Choosing to sit with Jesus was much better. And boy, is that a lesson for us today. Are you with me, church? You will hear him when your heart and your mind become still. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." When the other voices are shouting their messages, say, shut up. Devil, shut up. The voice of negativity, the voice of the past, the voice of confusion, the voice of low self-esteem, the voice of personal failure, the voice of, you know, the mistakes I made. Just tell all those voices, shut up. Shut up. I want to listen to God. Hallelujah. I want to find the hiding place. Where's Brother Joe? The hiding place to be with God. Hallelujah. I want to be with God. Elijah, the great prophet, had to go through this after his mighty victory on Mount Carmel. You know the story. Jezebel was out to get him. Sometimes after your great breakthroughs, great victories, the devil's angry. The devil's mad. He tried to chase Elijah, and Elijah was so discouraged, he was ready to give up. He was ready to kill himself. So, or at least say, God, take me home. And then there was an earthquake, and there was a fire, and he thought, okay, God, you're back. Things are back to where they were. Because now, you know, Elijah was a man of fire. He was a man of power. He called down fire from heaven. And the rain didn't come. Then when he prayed, the rain came, and all of these wonderful things. But now God wanted to do something different. How many of you know God reserves the right to shake things up a bit? You know, just when you think you've got God all figured out, God just moves away a little bit just to see if you're going to actually come after him. You know, like it says in Song of Solomon, draw me after you. Draw me after you and let us run together. God will draw us to run after him. Are you with me today? He wants to know that we're willingly going after him. We're in love with him. And so finally, after the fire and the earthquake, Elijah heard the still, small voice of God. And God said to Elijah, it's not over. There's 7,000 that have not bent their knee to Baal. I've got work for you to do. Hallelujah. Thank God he's got work for us to do. Amen. In your quiet place, you can unburden your heart's emotions, your pain. God is not saying for you to deny your pain and to make pretend you're not hurting. God's not saying that. What he's saying is bring it to the altar. Bring it to God in prayer. Unburden yourself before him. One of the things I do when I can't know what, when I don't know what else to pray, I sometimes just pray in tongues. According to 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible talks about praying in tongues as a prayer language. And I find the Holy Spirit will use that gift to help me get closer to God. Are you with me, church? Number five, the last one, choose to move closer to God. Let me read these back to you one more time. Number one is know that God really wants to speak to you. Believe that he really wants to speak to you. Number two, choose to actively listen. Number three, be ready to obey and follow whatever God is saying. Number four, get quiet often. And number five, choose to move closer. In a human relationship, it takes two people to want to be close to each other, right? I've done a bit of marriage counseling, and when you have only one person that's really interested in saving the marriage, it's very hard because it takes two. Both people have to be willing to try to move closer. In human relationships, it's a decision, a willful decision to say, no matter what, I'm going to stay close to this person. No matter what, I'm not going to let the devil separate me from God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let my fears, I'm not going to let my insecurity, I'm not going to let my misunderstanding put a wall between me and God. Walls isolate us. God wants to break down the wall today. He desires a close and fulfilling relationship with us. You've already proved that. He came all the way from heaven. How many miles is that? It's 96 million miles from here to the sun. But how many miles is it from here to heaven? We don't know. He came from the infinite kingdom of God to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He came from heaven to bring heaven down, like the song, Where's Oh Man Is Not Feeling Well, right? She sings the song, What a Beautiful Name. He didn't want heaven without us, so he brought heaven down. I love that. Say it with me. He didn't want heaven without us, so he brought heaven down here. That's what it meant when Jesus came to Bethlehem. He brought a little bit of heaven down here so we could see where we're going and where we need to focus. Choose to stay close to God. Desire a close relationship with Him. Remember, He will not force His love on you. He will not force His will on you. But knowing how much He's done for you, what kind of love, what kind of loyalty does He deserve? There's a good question for us to close with. Knowing what God has done for us. He took my sin. He took my shame. He took my rejection. He took my pain. He literally fought hell for me. He went down. The Bible says He took the keys away from Satan. Woo! Satan thought he had us all locked up down there. Come on now, church. And Jesus spoiled powers and principalities. Hallelujah. And he ruptured hell. He ruptured hell. Took the keys away from Satan. And He took captivity captive free and brought us up to heaven. The Bible says we are raised, ascended, and seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities. Knowing that He has done all this, what kind of love do I owe Him? What kind of loyalty do I owe Him? The Bible says He died for us so that we who live should no longer live for themselves. Put your hand on your heart with me for a second. He died for me that I should live for Him. Choose to stay close to Jesus. As far as He's concerned, nothing can separate you. On His side of the equation, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God. The only thing is He's given us a free will. He does not want robots. He wants a person who will love Him from his heart, willingly, freely, saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to give my life to You. I want to serve You. I want to hear You. I want to obey You, Lord. I want to be more like You, Jesus." Would you stand with me now?